The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Will confessed and forgiven sins be publicly judged at the judgment seat of Christ? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. Thanks for joining us today. We're taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. If you've got a question, you can send it to us through email. radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are Grace in Focus. This is a ministry of Grace Evangelical Society. We don't usually say Grace Evangelical Society very much, but that's the name of the ministry. Grace in Focus is the name of the show. And just to confuse things a little bit more, our website is actually faithalone.org.
Right.
So it's kind of like three brands. I think that might be confusing to some people. But, you know, our purpose is to promote God's grace, the freeness of the promise of eternal life. If you wanted to, like, summarize what Grace Evangelical Society is for, our mission, how would you summarize it?
Well, basically, we're promoting the free gift of everlasting life to all who simply believe in Jesus for that life and the related but separate issue of discipleship. That is, we who come to faith in Christ are called to follow him, and if we are faithful in following him, then one day we'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and we will rule with Christ in the life to come. We'll have eternal rewards commensurate with what we've done. And so our ministry is both about evangelism and discipleship. It's to get our readers and our listeners to be clear when they evangelize and clear when they disciple.
Right.
Our aim is that each one would become an overcomer, would become a victorious Christian.
Right. And so, I mean, it happens naturally that once you make clear how simple it is to be born again, people ask about all these other passages. And so you have to then be clear about what discipleship means, because that's what those passages are usually about.
Exactly.
Right? So the two go hand in hand. As an example of that, here's a question from Alicia. And Alicia wants to know, if believers will have their works judged publicly at the Bema, whether good or bad, does that include the sins which we have confessed and for which we have asked forgiveness? Doesn't God forget our confessed sins?
Okay, that's a good question. Would you read the beginning of it again?
So, if believers will have their works judged publicly at the Bema, good or bad, does that include the sins which we have confessed and for which we have asked forgiveness? Doesn't God forget our confessed sins?
Okay, this is an issue that comes up a lot. And I remember it was a little over 20 years ago I spoke at the pre-trib study group. I asked the question, will the sins of believers be considered at the judgment seat of Christ? It was a rather controversial message. People can see it at our website at faithalone.org. And I give 10 reasons why not our sins will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, but our bad deeds.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, sins are deeds. If I am a person who brings dishonor to the name of Christ, well, I won't be judged for the sin of dishonoring Christ. I'll be judged for the work of dishonoring Christ. The point is, we're not judged according to our sins, but Paul does say in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And you also have the same thing in the publicly in Matthew 6, especially in the majority text. Several times it says the things you've done in secret will be judged publicly.
Right.
And it's both good and bad. In other words, if we're praying in secret, we're going to be rewarded for that. But if we're praying in public so as to be seen by men, well, then there's no eternal reward for that.
So to answer Alicia's question, let's say you committed adultery, you had a moral fall. That is going to be brought up publicly, but I guess not as a sin, but as a bad deed or something.
Right.
So everyone will know about it.
Well, take, for example, David and Bathsheba. That's adultery. Does everybody know about it? Sure.
Yeah.
Are we going to know about it forever? Yes. So people will be accepting of the fact that we're judged for our deeds. We're judged even for our bad deeds. You remember in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that will he also reap.
Yeah.
Well, is that true or not true? I mean, if we confess it and we're not going to be judged for it, then it's not true. Do we reap what we sow or don't we reap what we sow? The other problem I have with what Elisha's talking about is it's common for people to say God forgets our sins, but they don't understand that's an anthropomorphism or a figure of speech. Obviously, God forgets nothing. God's omniscient. If God forgot anything, he'd stop being God.
Okay.
So when it says he forgets our sins, it means he does not hold them against us. That's holding them against us in terms of fellowship. The issue at the judgment seat of Christ is not fellowship. The issue at the judgment seat of Christ is reaping what we've sowed.
Okay. What would you say is the practical difference between being judged for the sin of adultery at the Bema versus the bad deed of adultery? I mean, what difference does it make calling it one thing rather than the other?
Yeah, I don't know. But, I don't know. But, other than the fact that obviously our sins are forgiven.
Right.
They're not going to be judged as something unforgiven.
Okay, okay.
But they will be judged as something we did. I don't know how to explain that other than to say we reap what we sow.
Maybe it's like this. Let's put it this way. Maybe you have an employee who's been caught stealing.
Right.
You know, and that's a sin.
Right.
But he becomes very remorseful and you forgive him of that sin.
Right. He repents, he confesses it to you, and you forgive him.
So you forgive him. But that's still going to impact, you know, he's not going to be put in charge of depositing the paychecks anymore.
Well, now that you may fire him.
Well, maybe you might fire him, too. But it's not like a personal issue anymore. You've forgiven him.
He could even go to jail.
But it still impacts his future at the company.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think that's a good illustration. I think we need to recognize the fact that the Bible teaches that our deeds have consequences both in this life and in the life to come. In fact, in the Galatians passage, Galatians 6, 7 through 9, we might think whatever you sow, you reap in this life. But could you read Galatians chapter 6, all three, well, 7, 8, 9, yeah.
Galatians 6, 7, 8, and 9 say, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart.
Okay, I'll come in at verse 8 in a second, but notice verse 9. For let us not grow weary while doing good. That's talking about while doing good in this life.
Right.
For in due season, that is in due time when Christ returns, we will reap if we do not lose heart.
Mm-hmm.
So if we lose heart and we fail to endure in our Christian faith, then we're not going to be an overcomer and we're not going to rule with Christ in life to come.
Right.
Now, I think what verse 8 is saying is the person who sows to his flesh, and in Galatians, the flesh is not the person who's going out there and willfully rebelling against God.
Mm.
The flesh is the legalist who's following the Judaizers.
Right, right.
And who's saying, oh, no, you've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the law of Moses. You've got to do A, B, and C in order to stay born again. And that person is going to reap corruption, which is loss or destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit, in Galatians, that's the person who's walking in liberty, walking in the liberty as a child of God, who is not in bondage to legalism, but who is walking in the Spirit of God. And it says, but he who sows to the Spirit, will the Spirit reap everlasting life?
Mm-hmm.
Well, reaping everlasting life, we know everlasting life is a present possession in 90% of the uses, 99% of the uses in the New Testament, like John 3:16, is something we have right now. But in a few passages, like Matthew 19:29, Galatians 6:8, you have it as a future potential reward. And in those cases, it's talking about fullness of everlasting life.
Okay.
And so what Paul is saying is, if we sow to the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap a full experience of everlasting life.
Okay.
It seems to me that the flip side of that is if we don't endure, well, then we're going to be rebuked for that.
Right.
I mean, we have lots of examples, Matthew 24:45-51, where there's rebuke. You've got the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25:1-13, The five virgins who don't have an extra supply of oil, they right. experience rebuke. You know, lots of passages. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, if we endure, we'll reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us, mm-hmm. which means if we deny him by failing to endure, then he will deny us the privilege of ruling with him.
Right.
So there's lots of examples, and it seems to me what we need to recognize is, yes, when we confess our sins, we're forgiven, but there's still consequences okay. now and in the life to come. By the way, isn't that a sobering reason not to be involved in sin?
Right, absolutely.
I mean, I remember reading an article by a pastor, and he keeps in his Bible a whole list of reasons why, if he were to have an affair, all the negative consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Because this guy traveled and spoke, and he was like, you know, if I were to have an affair, it would ruin my marriage.
Yeah.
It would devastate my wife. I might not be able to see my kids anymore. I'd lose my church.
Mm-hmm.
I'd lose my ministry.
Right.
Bring shame to the name of Jesus. And he mentioned a whole bunch of things.
Right.
He would focus on those things. Well, I think even better, slightly legalistic, but what I liked about his point was he was focusing on consequences.
Right, and he's changing his mind with truth.
Right.
This might have short-term pleasure or something, but the long-term consequence, actually, people don't realize how long-term those consequences are.
Oh, right.
If they can extend it to eternity.
Right.
That's really long-term consequences.
Yeah, not extending into eternity in the sense that somehow we're not going to be joyful forever. All believers will be joyful.
Okay.
But it would mean there will be consequences
right.
that will not be good for us.
Enjoy eternal life less, the fullness of eternal life less into eternity?
It would seem to me, yeah. That's going to be a kind of a mystery as to how full our experience of eternal life will be. But
right.
we want it to be as full as it can be, right?
Exactly. Amen. Well, thanks for the question, Alicia. And this comes from her reading our blogs. And I would invite you to go to faithalone.org and sign up to receive our blog every day. We do a blog every day and a podcast every day. And our whole goal is just to get you to read the Bible and be blessed from the Bible.
Oh, and also we have one video a week now we're doing on our YouTube channel.
That's
YouTube
right.
Grace Evangelical Society.
Yeah, GES Vids. Probably need a new name for that, too. That's a fourth brand name there. Well, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon.
Thank you, guys, for that great discussion. Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So come and get a subscription at faithalone.org. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. We are so happy when we hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about why legalism is so dangerous. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.